Well, today, dear brothers and sisters, I am going to be preaching in the next installment in our master outline of the new birth. And this one is entitled, if you'll note there in your bulletin, The New Birth is Incorruptible. And to me, this could not have come at a more appropriate time than looking around. I mean, God's timing is impeccable. God's timing is perfect. And when I think about what transpired in this last week, and I'm sure all of you know by now, I mean, I was probably one of the last ones to find it out because I don't watch the news, and I just happened to get an email 2 days ago that told me about the Supreme Court decision that came down. And it just blows my mind. I mean, it's not like I didn't expect it. I mean, I was praying against it. But I also knew people were involved, amen? And where men are involved and given the power and authority to make decision, what do you think happens? Okay, a 5-4 decision, you know, like we expected anything other, right? But God says that in Him, the new birth is incorruptible. And I want us to look at this reality. I want us to grab a hold of this reality. I want us to realize that within us, within our being, is a strength, is a power that cannot be changed no matter what happens in our world. So if you would, open your scriptures with me. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to begin in verse 13. Now, the verse that we're going to be dealing with, the text of our sermon today, is actually verse 23. But I've got to go all the way back to verse 13 to give us the context. Okay, remember the one thing that I try and teach everybody is context is everything. You know, I can take any verse and make it mean anything I want if I take it out of context. But I want us to understand this in the context of not only our world, but in the Word. All right? So from verse 13 in the first chapter of 1 Peter, we read therefore these words. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. That sounds like get your faith busy, doesn't it? Because faith is what? A verb. It is action, all right? So get your faith ready. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him you believe in God who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Blessed be the word of our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we look at this word, as we look at it and try to wrap our minds around what is being spoken here, one of the things that we have to realize is from verse 17, we're being spoken to as people who have two natures. We're being spoken to as people who once lived in a corruptible nature, the nature that was given to us through the physical birth, through our forefathers. Because as I've taught you, and I pray you're learning, for centuries they've been teaching us that we are the image of God. We have been created. We are created in the image of God. No, we're not. Adam was. And then he sinned. And from that time till now, we have been procreated in his image. We are no longer the image of God. The only way that we can become the image of God is to be born again. And that's the incorruptible nature which is being spoken of here. Because that is purity, that is sinlessness. Not sinning less, sinlessness, meaning no sin. And there's only one who has lived and died and was raised again who has that sinless nature. And his name is Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we come to him and accept his death, burial, and resurrection as our payment by faith, we are set free. And we are given that incorruptible nature. And in that reality, you and I now have an eternal nature, not a physical nature. A physical nature dies and is no more. All right? I want you to look at the natural progression. When you have the corruptible nature is brought by whom? It is brought by man. Because of sin. It is brought from Adam through all the generations. Our youth, we just had our first youth Bible study here the other week, or last week. No, this week. Just had it this week at Missy and Chuck's house. And it was an amazing thing because they were asking me about, well, how did those people live so long back then? You did that? Was that really 900 and some odd years? Or were the years different? No, they were the same. A year is a year. 365 and one quarter days. How did they live so long? Because they were closer to the time of perfection. Because then one of the students said to me, oh, well, you know, in the 1800s, people only lived into their 40s. Yeah. Yep. Because of all the sin and everything that had crept in, and we were in a mini ice age at that point in time. And people died because of all the influenza from all the bubonic plague, the black plague, you know, all the different things, diphtheria, dysentery, all the things that were going on. And as we look at things today in our world, I want you to understand, where was AIDS back then? There wasn't AIDS back then. Where is these horrible staph viruses and MRSA and all that stuff? It wasn't here then. Why? Because as sin grows, so too does the genetic entity thereof. It's a living, breathing organism. Sin is alive, and it is well in our world. All we have to do is open up our eyes, turn on the news, and you will see it. It is there. You don't have to go looking for it. Because we live in a world filled with human beings who are full of, created in, the image of sin. And that sin nature cannot be escaped. It is part of you physically. It can't be amputated. It can't be taken out. However, spiritually, it can be transplanted. Transplanted from us to Christ, and then his nature from him to us. And that is the new birth. And when you and I receive that incorruptible nature, we need to realize it's not from man. It's from God. He is from God because it has a name. He is the Holy Spirit who comes to live in us. God says, I'll not leave you alone. I'll not forsake you. I'll send another, and he will be with you, and he will be in you. And he is the Holy Spirit. And he is in each and every believer. So you see, the incorruptible Spirit is from God. God cannot sin. God is eternal. God does not have a beginning nor an end. Neither too do we now in Christ Jesus. For we are made one with him from the foundations of all things to the consummation of all things. Our nature is now eternal. We do not live in this temporal world. We live around it. But the reality is, when this body ends, and it's going to, amen? And I am so glad that it's going to, because the day will come when I'll give it up and I'll get a better one. Because in that day we know, it tells us in the Scriptures that we will know him, for we shall see him and be what? Like him. In that day, we will be given an incorruptible body. This physical flesh will have no more sway over us. For the spiritual controls the physical. And how much of our world thinks the physical controls the spiritual? The spiritual controls the physical. All things were created out of the spirit world. For God is spirit. And it so amazes me because we're told today that that's simply a philosophy and that's okay. You can do that at home. But when it comes to the reality, we'll tell you what to think. We'll tell you what to do. We'll tell you what's right. You know, the governments are just as guilty today as the early church was before the Reformation. In the Reformation, the people's eyes were opened to the Scripture because for the first time, they were actually able to read it for themselves, and the church could no longer hide it. And it's so amazing because in our world today, so many people's eyes are being opened to what is happening in our world. But yet, for some reason, we can't seem to control what's happening in our nation. Because there are now too many people on the other side of the coin controlling what is happening. Because Christians kept their mouths shut for far too long. We all said, oh, as Christians, we don't get up and say anything because that'll never happen. Do you remember, folks? This is before I was, okay? Oh, they'll never take prayer out of school. That'll never happen. I do not ever remember once praying in school. I was born in 1962. I do remember there was a Bible in school. There was a Bible in every class until about 1975, and then they disappeared. Weren't even allowed to have them in there. And then I remember, just not too awful long ago, we would have the Ten Commandments in public places on judge or on courthouses, okay? And all of a sudden, we weren't allowed to have them there anymore because of the separation of church and state. You know, I think it's an amazing thing because that's not in our Constitution anywhere. That was a letter, a personal letter written between two people in our government. It has nothing to do with our government, but yet they tell you it does. And how many of us have ever looked at the Constitution to see if it's actually in there? It's not. Yeah, Whitey,
I have.
Is it there, Whitey? No, it's not there. Because all we have to do is read the Declaration of Independence. All we have to do is read the Constitution of the United States. And we see how it was framed on the very biblical principles that we're being told are no longer constitutional. That's corruptible man. That is corruptible man. Because let us remember, Adam and Eve, from the beginning, they were perfect. They were created in God's image. No one was ever closer to God. No human being was ever closer to God than those two people. They walked with God. They talked with God. They communed with Him in reality. They lived with Him in Eden, a perfect place. I want you to think about it. When the crops grew, there were no weeds. They didn't even have to plant. The corn came up, the squash came up, all the stuff came up. They didn't have to do anything. Just be there and enjoy God. And God says, there's only one rule here. How many rules? One. Don't eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. For surely when you eat of it, you will die. One rule. And they couldn't make it. One rule. Kids, you think you got it tough. My parents make all kinds of rules for me. I'm not allowed to do this. You are nowhere, believe me. There is nothing that has come to you that has not come to every one of us. Our parents can say the same thing about your grandparents. And your grandparents will say the same thing about your great-grandparents. And all the generations back, because from that very day, once that law was broke, man began making all kinds of laws. Because we realized that with one law, we couldn't keep it. So we need to make even more and more and more. And more and more. You see, man cannot legislate morality. Morality only comes from an incorruptible nature. And that incorruptible nature is God Himself. No matter how much legislation we pass, we can't stop immorality. So what do? We make the immoral moral. And we say it's enlightenment. We are educated people, and all we're doing is adding to the depravity. You know, it's amazing to me, because the Scripture says, when you see the abomination that brings desolation, well, we're living in the abomination that brings desolation. That man's name isn't what it is for no reason. God does love word pictures. Let him who has eyes see, and let him who has ears hear. I'm probably going to, when this gets out there, I'm going to have the FBI or the CIA coming to my door. Praise Jesus, I'll preach the gospel to them. But you and I need to remember this. No matter what comes at us, and believe me, from this point on, it is going to come at us. Because as we stand up, as we stand up in the incorruptible nature that God has given us, and as we start pointing out that we will not succumb to the immoralities that are now legalized, they're going to come after us because we are the unenlightened ones. We now are the problem. But we need to remember this. The gift of the incorruptible nature is greater than the gifted. All right? No matter what comes at you, no matter what comes at me, we need to remember that the gift of the incorruptible nature is greater than the gifted. My physical body, this man that stands before you, is going to want to break. But if we stand in that incorruptible nature, if we stand in the name of Jesus Christ, if we stand for the righteousness that is eternal life, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Now do you see why the songs were here that we're here today? We have to understand that when all things are being poured out and we're being told to renounce Christ, we need to shout to the Lord and let all the earth know that there's none like Him. We have got to be more light in the world today than we have ever been before. The world wants us to fall to our corruptible nature and to be overcome by the corruption therein. To simply accept immorality in every and any form that is now dictated as okay. What's next? Is it okay to kill your wife? That way you don't have to divorce her? I mean, you know, you're all looking at me like, what? Hey, why not? Notice my wife's not in the room right now. But I'm sure somebody here is going to tell her, right? Nothing will ever happen to Miss Lynn. I love her far too much. And I need her far too much. But the reality is, folks, if I'm being far-fetched, what is next? What is next? Well, you know, it's okay, Pastor. You know, they can do their thing, but you don't realize how it affects us as a church. You do not realize how it affects us as a church. Do you know what we're going to be doing within the next couple weeks? This coming month, we're going to be approving, as the elders, language that goes into our bylaws and constitution. And then we're going to present it to all of you, and we have to schedule a new meeting for the entire congregation so that you can vote on the language that we would like to have changed in our bylaws and constitution, stipulating that marriage is between one man, one woman, born male, born female, da-da-da-da-da-da, literally spelling it all out, word for word, the whole way through, stating that this church will not sanction, will not understand, will not come to the point where we will allow two men or two women to get married. Well, you know what? There's a problem, because that means we have to change that language already, because right now in Massachusetts, there's a couple and a man, two women and one man, that would like to get married. Why not? Why not? I look at it this way, and God help me. I'm waiting for somebody to say they want to marry their German shepherd. You all think that's sick or whatever? Hey, we're the immoral. We're the ones who aren't enlightened. You know, anything is okay. It's, you know, this is a being with a being. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember that right now we are truly becoming face to face with understanding what corruptible and incorruptible really means. And I know there's some folks in here who might say, now wait a minute, you know, they were born that way, God created them that way. No, He didn't. They were born that way. I'll accept that because they were born in sin. All right? They were born with a sin nature. They were born flawed. God did not create them that way. God created man in Adam and Eve. All right? And then He put into His creation the ability to what? Procreate itself. So an oak tree makes cherry trees, right? No, an oak tree makes oak trees. All right? Cows give birth to horses. No, cows give birth to cows, right? And that's the way it goes all through the generations. And when Adam sinned, he was no longer procreating the image of God, a sinless nature. He was procreating his sin nature. The corruptible. We need to get back to the Spirit of God. We need to get back to the reality of walking in the Spirit, walking in that incorruptible nature. One of the things that we need to remember, and I want you to look at this in your Bible. Look in your Bible. It's the very same scripture we just read. Look at your scriptures. It says to us here in verse 17, 18, and 19. It says, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. What's that mean? That means we need to remember that, yes, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. This world has laws and rules, but those laws and rules, we need to live in fear of God, not of man. We need to remember, I need to respect those laws, all right? I'm not going to come against those people, but I am not going to condone those people because that's wrong. Second line, verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. When we look at our world, what is the most important thing out there? Silver and gold, money. Money talks. Everything else walks. And we need to remember that we have something that talks even louder. Because I want you to think about something. When God spoke to Cain, all right, this is way back at the beginning. Cain had killed his brother Abel. And what did he say to Cain? Your brother's blood calls out to me from the ground. If the blood of a sinful man calls out to God, how much more so the blood of the Lamb calls out to God and says, righteous, holy, mine, chosen, sealed. And that's where we stand, bought at a price greater than gold, a price greater than silver, and man hates it. Satan hates it because he can't control it. And you and I need to remember that that price cost God everything. For the Trinity was broken for the first time ever. And the last time. I want you to think about that. You know, we don't think about that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. All of a sudden, one was gone. Now there's two. No, there's still three. One was simply separated and could not be with the other two. How do you think that affected God? How do you think that affected the Eternal One? The One who was one since the beginning, even before the beginning, time eternal. All of a sudden, He was broken. God Himself died. That we could have life. God Himself. That's a price that none of us could ever pay. That's a price that none of us ever deserve. Because we spat on God. Because we rejected Him and we scorned Him. We turned our back on Him. When did I do that, Pastor? Every time you sin. For you do not sin against people. You sin against God. Every time we do something wrong. Every time we do something wrong, we are sinning against Him. We're turning our back on Him. We're putting Him in the grave. But God loved us so much that He paid a price that we couldn't pay. He brought to us a salvation that we didn't deserve. He brought to us an incorruptible nature that sets us apart and gives us the ability to live unto eternity. But in that reality, He says to us from verse 19, but we were bought with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world and was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him you believe in God who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. when we are set free, Jesus Christ does not say, all is well, all is well. Jesus Christ says, come unto me and die. Come unto me and die. Die to the self. Die to that corruptible nature. Get rid of it. I have a new nature for you. He doesn't bid us to come and live as life is just the way it was. How many times have you heard this pastor say, the gift is free, but it will cost you everything? Because in order to receive the incorruptible nature, you have got to, not should, not might, you have got to give up the old nature. The old is gone, the new has come. We must live in that new nature, reaching out, grabbing a hold of that faith. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a struggle, isn't it, folks? But we need to do it every day, and more so now as we see the darkness ever increasing. Because there's going to come a day when there'll be no more darkness. Because God will chasten it and it will be gone. But in that, it means every human being who is standing in that darkness, they too will be destroyed. That's where we once were. How can we say we know and love God if we're not out there on the street, if we're not at our job or with our family preaching the Word of God? Now, does that mean you got to stand up like I am now and preach like I am? Absolutely not. But it means you need to have that conversation when it comes up. Well, Pastor, it just never comes up. Really? I think it's a matter that we don't want it to come up. I think it's a matter that we're afraid to talk about it. I think it's a matter that we don't want to harm somebody. We don't want to make them feel bad. They're dying. And you got the cure. What are we doing? Well, you know, I want them to get to know me. And, you know, maybe after about 5 or 10 years, then I'll introduce them to Jesus. Really? There's nowhere in that scripture where it says, get to know them for 10 years and then invite them. The Apostle Paul flew in the face of every culture he walked into. He came in and he preached Christ crucified. You're dead in your sins. Repent and believe. You see, we don't have to change the gospel. The gospel changes us. We need to live in the gospel. We need to bring the gospel to people. Because I've been living in this world for 52 years, and I haven't changed anything in it. Look at what's going on. But when I preach the gospel, it changes lives. Why are you people all here? Because I'm such a wonderful person, right? No. Because I believe and hold to and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not my gospel, it's His gospel. I'm not here to be warm and fuzzy. For those of you who counsel with me, you know, I cut it to the quick. I'm going to tell you the things you don't want to hear. Tough. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. And the truth will set you free. But if I got to wait 10 years to give it to you, I ain't got that long. And neither have you. And neither does our world. The day is growing short. Today, let us remember that the gift is not under the condition of the person, but the person is under the condition of the gift. What do I mean by that? In my closing comment. When we accept the incorruptible nature, we do not control it. It controls us. We have to remember that. The gift controls the person. It's when we allow our other nature to rise up. We're not controlling the other nature. We're submitting to the old nature. We are literally crucifying once again our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to be careful. Because it says, where we keep on sinning, there is no longer any sacrifice for sins. I want you to think about that. We need to be under the control of the gift. Because we can't control the gift. The gift has to control us. Today, I want you to submit to that incorruptible nature. I want you to submit to Jesus Christ. I want you to walk in the reality that God loves us, that He paid a debt we could not pay. And as we walk in that incorruptible nature, we truly will see glory. It's not going to be easy because darkness is reigning in our world. And we're told it's going to get darker. But we're not to give up. We will have to change some of the things we do or go to jail. I choose to go to jail because I'll not compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you stand with me this day? Gracious God, our Father, we come before You in the mighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ, and we give You thanks that You have given us the hope of glory in the incorruptible nature through the new birth. For Lord, in that incorruptible nature, nothing on this side of the grave can harm us. It may inflict us for a time, but it cannot cause eternal damage. For we know we store up not treasure here on earth, but in heaven, where moth nor rust doth harm, and man does not break in and steal. And Lord, we know that the glory is Yours. So Father, use us and guide us in this new incorruptible nature that we may truly be a beacon of light in this dark world. Father, guide us by faith that we may be the body of Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. And all God's children said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.